West Tigers fans, the NRL season has officially kicked off. We're going to talk some Las Vegas footy, but most of all, we're going to talk some West Tigers from your viewer slash listener submitted questions. Plenty of great topics to talk about on tonight on the West Life podcast. Welcome in to another episode of the West Life podcast. I am your host, Josh Barnett. I am joined by my usual team tonight. We're going to talk some West Tigers from your questions. Thank you to all of you who have submitted the questions over the last, literally asked you last night, and you guys delivered. So we appreciate that. The footy kicked off in Las Vegas, so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. We are brought to you again by West Ashfield League slash Holman Barnes Group. Thank you again. They are on board with us again in 2024. So the best place to watch league live and loud. And you'll be able to do that. Well, you can do that this weekend. The Tigers won't be playing. But from next weekend, you'll be able to watch the West Tigers when they take on the Canberra Raiders to kick off our season. And a man who loves a pizza and a schooner, Wes Ashfield. Well, it could be either of them, either of the boys. Actually, as you don't drink, so they can't be you. I was actually talking about you. Schooner of water. Water glass, of nice ice cold water and a schooner glass, as. How are you this evening?
Yeah, g'day, Josh. G'day, Rob. Yeah, you're right about that. I'm not a drinker, so yeah, definitely not going to catch me drinking schooners at the pub or at Wes Ashfield or anywhere for that matter. So I'm doing pretty good tonight. Thanks, Josh. Enjoyed some Vegas footy yesterday, two top quality games, a lot of fun, a lot of hype for the new season, rest of round one this weekend, so bring it on.
And man, I just saw someone in the comments said thank you for a nice tip on the Quinella over the weekend. Rob Stradamus coming in from the Red Room, how are you this evening?
Yeah, g'day boys, viewers, listeners. Yeah, I'm great, mate. Great to have the footy back. You know, just even though it wasn't our teams, couple of good games. I think the second one was probably less entertaining but better quality, but we'll get into that a bit later.
Yeah, we will get into that. But first, cap off the rank. So I did just mention, shouts to Holman Barnes Group. They are on board again with us this season. And yeah, the first game of this year will be, we're playing the Canberra Raiders next Saturday, and they're doing half price pizza and $4.80 beers between 3 and 4 o'clock. So basically from kickoff, kickoff's a 3, is it? That's a weird time for kickoff. Thought it was a 4 o'clock kickoff. But anyway, between 3 and 4 p.m. will be half price pizza and beers and prize giveaways and possibly special guest appearances. So get out to West Ashfield for, yeah, some footy, cheap pizza, cheap beer. What better way to spend a Saturday afternoon, especially if the West Tigers can get up for that game as well. And shouts to our friends at Mobile Corp. So they're on board again with us this year. Everyone's, so many friends sticking with us. And as I bring up that their ad as well, as I... Here it is. Mobile Corp is a proud sponsor of the West Life podcast. The business in its early days was a major sponsor of the Balmain Tigers. For all your business IT needs, from the cloud-based telephony, security, desktop support, or anything Microsoft, reach out to Mobile Corp through their website, which I did a bit of a screenshot for you tonight on the screen, mobilecorp.com.au. Mention you're a listener of the West Life podcast. Speak to Stephen about West Tigers. He'll talk West Tigers with you all day because he's a fan of this show and he's a legend West Tigers fan just like us. Right, a bit of news to start the evening. So like I said last week, it's hard to find West Tigers news at the moment. There's no leaks. There's no rumours. It's all a bit quiet on the Western front. A couple little tidbits did see around the news cycle. Phil Gould warns of a potential disaster for Tiger's teen gun with no fear. So Gussie Gould, he has, was quite actually quite funny. I will tangent a little bit in the chat. We're talking about this, our little group chat amongst us boys here. We're talking about the show tonight, and we were talking about this story in particular. And as you thought I was talking about our Gussie, not Gus Gould. So you're a little bit confused. So we're talking about Gus Gould, not Gussie Harris, super fan of the show. So, yeah, so basically about Lachlan Galvin, you said he's a great kid. He's been on the horizon for some time. He's an NRL player. At 18 years of age, he's still a bit slight. They'll have to look after him for a while, but he'll be a force. He'll force his way into the NRL sooner rather than later. He was quite impressive in the preseason trials, even though the Tigers weren't that good. He did some really nice things for one so young. So he said he's a shining light on the horizon. No doubt about that. I think it'll be representative class down the track. But you've got to protect them from themselves a little bit. He's got no fear, and kids like that, you've got to protect from themselves. They just need to be careful not to let the current needs overweigh the long-term development of a very talented player. I would hate to see him rush too much and too often into that position, and he's certainly not there to save them, but develop him properly over a period of time to take their time with him. For the teams at the bottom, when you're having those days when you're getting beaten by 40 and 50, it can be a very harrowing experience for them out there. Fans have got to be patient. As we all went on a bit of a love fest for this kid last week. Gus Gould being a bit of a party pooper. What are your thoughts on these words here?
Well, first of all, thanks for throwing me under the bus just before. Much appreciated.
Thinking about Gussie all the time. It wasn't really throwing. It was just our love for Gus. Is that when you hear the name Gus, that's who comes to mind first. You don't think about Gus Gould anymore. It's Gussie Harris.
Yeah, you just confused me after a busy day is all. I don't think there's anything to worry about in regards to Galvin. He just seems to be one of those kids that he's got the footy IQ, he's got the ability, he's got the talent. Yeah, I'm still of the belief that we probably shouldn't play him too much this year, maybe attempt to acclimatize him to the NRL a bit later in the season. But continue working on his development and reap the rewards of a potentially long and successful career later on down the track.
Roberto, you thought these comments when we were chatting about it earlier, not a fan of what Gussie's saying here. Sorry, I shouldn't say Gussie. Gussie's our Gussie. Gus. Gus, what is Rothfield calling? Philip Ronald Gould saying here.
Yeah, when you read out that whole article and it has a bit more perspective as opposed to the flash headline. Look, if the sentiments sound genuine, but honestly, guys, he's a football manager of another club. He needs to shut his mouth and not tell us what to do. If he's good enough, if he's old enough, he plays. We will know how to protect him or how not to protect him. It's not up to Phil Gould to start scoring brownie points with Lachie Galvin in case they want to get him down the track at Canterbury. I don't think guys that have got positions in other clubs should be talking about other teams and their players. So while he might have meant really well, I just wish he'd shut his mouth and let us sort it out, and we'll work out what's best for Galvin. If Galvin is going better than Sullivan or vice versa, our coaches, you know, will know what to do and do the right thing.
100%. Yeah, he's looked in the trial. I know it's only a trial, but yeah, he's, like you said, if they're old enough, if he's good enough, he's old enough. So I think I don't think he's going to come on the scene and be overwhelmed by it. He looked the goods. So
he's a player. He's a player. And if he helps us win games, guys, that's to Canterbury's detriment. So that's just even further reason why Phil Gould shouldn't be talking about this. You know, there's just so many things that they could be, you know, of good intent, and there could also be some, you know, sort of sneakiness there and a bit of deception. So I just think he should keep his comments to himself. And if he wants to talk about football players and what people should do, talk about your own club, mate, because your club has gone shit since you've been there. So just, you know, we're not doing too well ourselves, but we don't need your advice. Thank you.
Some good, I'll let you keep going on some good news here, Rob. Well, it's not really news, it's just a little bit of a it's as good as news we can get at the moment. The West Tigers want Shane Richardson for the long haul, so they're in talks. So he's obviously only an interim CEO at the moment, Rob, but hopefully he's going to sign on the dotted line and cross the T's and dot the lowercase J's and stay for a while.
Yeah, his job has only just begun, guys. He's done a lot already, but he's got so much more to do. There'll be so many more changes, you know, within front office, you know, coaching staff probably down the track in some way, in some small ways, hopefully not major ways. I think everything he's done so far has been fantastic. He's a doer. He's not a shit talker. And he doesn't, you know, claim to have all the ideas from himself. He's pretty much publicly said that everything I've learned over the years has come from other people, and that's a sign of a smart guy. He just wants to do the best for our club, and I support him fully. I hope he's there for as long as he possibly wants the job.
Righto. So the big thing that happened over the weekend, Las Vegas, as has muted himself, he might be just having technical difficulties. All right, straight. You're going to have to keep going on this one, Rob. He's back, okay. As Las Vegas. I think he's back. We got Yaz?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. We're talking Las Vegas. So two cracking games. One cracking game, one okay game yesterday, I guess. But look, at the Las Vegas trip venture by the NRL has its a lot of critics, but there's still a few people out there critiquing it. But I think it was, by the sounds of it, an overall success. And I think it's a great thing. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a pretty good success as well. There were two cracking games, like you said, one of them probably not as good as the other, but a show was definitely put on for the Americans who showed up. And they got a crowd of just over 40,000, which I think is quite good, considering it's a 61,000 capacity stadium or something along those lines. So 41,000, who you'd say maybe 25, 30,000 of them were Australians that went over. But overall, I think they did really well. The crowd seemed to really get into it. They all had a good time. The players played pretty damn hard as well. And it was a really good show by almost every player out on the field, I think.
Yeah, Verlander's has come out. Like, they're just planting a seed. It's a five-year plan. People saying, well, most people are from Australia anyway. The Yanks won't care. There's 300 million Americans. Like, the population is 12 times ours. If you can get a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of interest in America, it's a big deal. Like, rugby union is getting decently popular amongst, like, colleges and that sort of thing. But, Rob, I think it was fantastic for the game. I can't wait to see who, if possibly, we'll save it for a question later, but if the West Tigers get a crack at it next year, but seemed like a hell of a trip as well.
I think Las Vegas is the perfect place to host it. I know I've noticed some discussion on our Discord chat saying they'd like to put it in various cities and stuff like that. And I get the idea behind that, and that it's not that they're wrong, but I think we're missing the point here with rugby league. Las Vegas is the place to be. Like, Las Vegas is where you have your big shows. It's where, you know, Celine Dion performs, or the big title fights have been there, or Cirque du Soleil go there. I don't think, even if it went to a proper beautiful field in a big stadium like somewhere in California, we wouldn't have got this sort of hype. So I think the hype was created about by having it in Las Vegas, because that's where they just hype everything, no matter what goes on there. A couple of little things I would do differently, which obviously we'll talk about in the questions, but just on, without answering those questions, I just think our Australian commentators, given it was going to American television, they just need to explain some rules, because I think, you know, for us, I mean, it took me a few years as a youngster to learn the NFL rules and stuff like that. So I just think if they explained a little bit, you know, like, hey guys, we have six tackles, you know, it'd be like what you'd call downs. You know, you guys have four downs to get 10 yards. We have six tackles. If the other team touches the ball, we get another six tackles. Like, just little bits of explanation instead of just looking at this complicated game and trying to work out how what the hell goes on. Can we pass it forwards? Can we pass it backwards? You know, all this sort of stuff. So it just needed a little bit of an explanation, which I don't think the Americans got. As to like wanting to convert Americans into loving our game, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's never going to get to what their games are, but we're in Australia and most of us love, you know, NBA and NFL and MLB. And so we can, you can follow plenty of sports. So I just, I think I love the concept of it. I love the fact that it's going to be there for 5 years. Pretty ironic that Manly and Roosters fans don't travel, but they went to Vegas. So, but they won't they won't go to Leichhardt Oval or anything. So, but I thought it was fantastic. The only thing that bothered me in the broadcast, the biggest part was the commentators just kept saying how good it was, how good it was. I was like, guys, just commentate, just do your job, stop carrying on. Like they were overwhelmed. And I just thought that was a little bit, they just went on and on a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And yeah, would love to be over there. Like you said, Vegas, yeah, now I think about it, is the thing about that city, if we're talking about LA, I was thinking LA would be a good idea, but LA is so spread out over so many different sections, as is New York, as is Miami, and that sort of thing. Whereas Las Vegas, the strip, the whole city is based around the strip. So
Exactly. And they wouldn't have got that crowd in California, Josh. Yeah. They wouldn't, and certainly from Australia, I don't think the Australian crowd would have traveled there. But when they think of Vegas, you know, they can take in a couple of shows while they're there, have a bit of a punt, you know, just make a whirlwind trip of it. Like for most people, you don't want to be in Vegas for more than a week or so. So I just think it's the ideal location.
Yeah, I did two nights there, and yeah, that was plenty. Right, on to the questions. We'll do the Patreon members up first. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/westlife. Or we do have another option. So if you don't want to sign up for Patreon, it can be a bit, another app and that sort of thing. If you are watching on YouTube, you can do a YouTube version. So we have a YouTube membership system set up now, as well as the Super Chats. Haven't seen Gussie yet. He normally hasn't thrown us a fiver yet for tonight. But yeah, you can actually sign up as a member instead of Patreon. And yeah, we get the same benefits as all the Patreon thing. So if you have a YouTube account, you can sign up basically. So how you do that, I actually can't remember. There's some way on our, if you go to our Westlife YouTube channel, there should be an option there. Or there's Super Chats, but if you do sign up to YouTube, come join us in the Discord. I'll send you a link through there. So long time Patreon, Salty Steve, his first question for tonight: if you got to pick what four teams to send to Las Vegas, which one or which four would you pick? As I'll let you go first.
I do like the idea of rotating it around a little bit, which was the original discussion, I believe. Like there are, I heard some teams were looking at potentially going for 2025 or 2026. I'm not sure that teams who have been this year should go again next year, like maybe share it around a little bit, unless there is no interest, which after what we saw, I don't think that's going to be a problem. At the moment, the four teams I'd probably send, other than the four that went this year, one would probably be the Cowboys. Obviously, the NFL in particular have a Cowboys team, which might, because that's a very synonymous, I guess, team name.
America's team, as they call themselves.
Yeah, that might bring more people through the gates. That's probably one I'd go with. As for the other three, probably one or two of the Sydney ones. You could probably get a decent, I guess, rivalry game out of a couple of Sydney teams. Maybe Parramatta and the Dogs, if they have good seasons this year, you could probably get a decent rivalry game there. As for a potential opponent for the Cowboys, that one's probably a bit tougher. Maybe the Knights. I think Kalen Ponga would probably be a good player to send over there. They get a little bit of a show from him. The Warriors as well are an option. That's probably a team I'd like to send over. there's a few options there. I don't think we'll go for 2, maybe 3 years yet. We need to make sure we're good and able to put on a show for the fans before we even consider going over there.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. The Tigers are a brand that like is pretty marketable. There's a reason why there's a Tigers in basically every major sporting league in the world, other than, I mean, even basketball. There's the colleges in America. There's Syracuse. There's
LSU.
The other one, LSU. Yeah, there's heaps of Tigers in the American college system. So, yeah, I don't know. The Tigers, we're a better brand, but maybe by next year with Luai and that sort of thing might be. But I get what you're saying, though. You want to send competitive teams. What about you, Rob?
Teams that you know are going to be able to give the Americans what they probably want to see, which is a good, high-quality game.
Yeah.
See, my idea would throw the World Cup Challenge into disarray. I think the top four teams every year should go to Vegas first round. I don't care who they are. I don't care if it ruins, you know, say for example, South play East in a grand final and they have to play each other first round over there and people think, oh, you're robbing Sydney of a game of South and East. Tough shit. We want to try and sell the game there. We want to get our best four teams there. What better way than rewarding the teams that actually finish in the top four? Give the teams incentive to want to go there. Give them some financial kickback as well. As I said, it would throw the World Club Challenge into disarray, but you're not going to have a problem with the quality of game. Like, we're lucky in the sense that South and the Roosters are pretty attractive teams, even though they didn't make the eight. But I think our best four teams should be over there, guys. And you've still got plenty of time. As soon as the home and away season is over, you know who's in the top four. You've got more than 6 months to prepare, and you're getting the best quality of football there because they're the four best teams in most recent memory. So I just think go the top four. And, yeah, in a perfect world, it'd be lovely to give everyone a turn there. But if you got, no offence to us and whatever, if you got Canterbury and the Tigers and, I don't know, St George and someone else, I mean, it just might not work. But if they're in the top four and they're playing good footy, then it would work. So I'd go top four teams, guys. I actually think, I don't know why they're not going with that sort of idea. And also, you're getting rewarded for coming, you know, third or fourth or even second in the comp. Even though you haven't won the comp, it's actually a reward for your fans as well. If the fans want to make the trip over there, I just think it's got a lot of ticks to it. The only thing that it doesn't work with is the timing at the moment of the World Cup Club Challenge. Excuse me, because obviously Penrith just played that a couple of weeks ago. But personally, as much as the last two World Club Challenge games have been great and the English teams have won them both times, who remembers who won the World Club Challenge, you know, like 5 years ago? Like, I couldn't give two hoots about the World Club Challenge, where I just think getting our best four teams over there, if we're serious about selling the game, you know, get the best there.
Yeah, fair call. I think if it's in Vegas, does the Raiders make sense? Maybe they could they could do a special black, predominantly black jersey with a green thrown in it, but it looked pretty cool to kind of cater to the local.
If the financial rewards from this guy's down the track, like in 5 or 10 years, become so massive, then, you know, clubs might even actually take a game to America. Maybe the Raiders will take a game to Las Vegas because they're the Raiders, or you know, the North Queensland Cowboys play a game in Cowboys Stadium. I mean, but like right now, we've just got to get the foundations right and get our feet in there. If we can sell a couple of games over there, it's worth a fortune. But we need to explain to the Americans like what the game's about and how it works. Don't just let them stare at the TV and go, oh, look at the collisions. Like, that's all you hear. Look at the collisions. They're wearing no pads. You know, like, who gives a shit? Like, teach them the game. It's a really good game that we play.
I reckon on that part of it too, I reckon they're going to promote the speed of the game more than the no pads bullshit, because I would more go down the path of less stoppages, non-stop action is the marketing I would go
for. Yeah, I agree.
Because NRL, like NFL, the main thing that stops a lot of Australians watching American football is the stoppages, really. And if you can market to Americans, look, this game does not stop for 40 minutes at a time. Like, you can't look away from the TV screen.
Yeah.
Then maybe, I think rather than saying, oh, look, we don't wear helmets and pads. So I think that's kind of, yeah, I think it's done its dash, that one. From Shane2801, I think this is Shane Coet. Gents, there were stuff or penalties over the two games yesterday. Is this a sign of things to come for season 2024? I know a fast-flowing game is better on the eye, but do you think this would benefit or hinder the West Tigers this year? P.S. Luke Brooks can still GF. Still grand final. Well, big call. He also had the odd decent game for us too. As what do you think? Do you reckon they're going to put the whistle away, or is this more because they were playing in Vegas and they didn't want to overwhelm the Americans with too many penalties?
Yeah, I have a feeling the referees were given some sort of a directive to put the whistle away as much as possible and only blow it if it was absolutely necessary. I think they wanted to put on a show for the Americans and not confuse them with too many penalties and things like that, especially for the ones who were there live, who probably, even if the commentators were doing a better job of explaining things as they went, the people in the stadium wouldn't have had that. So I think the directive was definitely there to put the whistle away unless you really needed to blow it. I don't think that's going to translate to the rest of our season over here, especially with all the rule changes that they introduced in the off. Well, not rule changes, but rule adjustments they introduced in the off season. I have a feeling there will still be a lot of penalties blown, especially in the early rounds while teams are still adjusting to that. Like we saw the first example of the field goal blockers penalty blown in the Roosters-Broncos game. And yeah, we're going to probably see a lot more of those until teams start to get the hint.
Rob, what are you thinking?
Oh, look, I don't think it'll be the same for the rest of the season. I've got a feeling, like, I think we've got to give some credit to the four teams. If those teams had been deliberately standing inside the 10 metres and wrestling each other in the tackle too much, you've got to blow the whistle, because that's how you will get a good game. You've got to keep them apart. You've got to have quick play the balls. You've got to have distance, you know, from the ruck. So personally, I think the players made it easier for the referees to ref, because everyone was talking about the smaller field and, you know, less width and less depth, and we're not going to get many points. And like the first game had nearly 60 points. Admittedly, South's defense was pretty goddamn awful. You know, like some of those tries were really soft. We might talk about that later, but I just thought, you know, from at least the Americans got to see some tries and plenty of points. And I just think that's credit more to the teams. But in theory, I think the refs do have to blow the whistles. If you allow wrestle, for example, in rounds 1 to 4 and people standing deliberately inside the 10 metres, we're not going to get good games, guys. We're not going to get many points. So, you know, it's a fine balance. But I just think, you know, don't get on the refs' backs if they're blowing penalties, because sometimes you need to do it.
And in terms of West Tigers, I think, I don't know, it depends if Benji's smart enough to kind of see the trends and coach the team to go that way. I mean, we're expecting a more grinded out sort of...
Well, it'd suit us with less penalties because...
Game plan. Yeah. Less piggybacks for the other team.
I don't know. Well, what works better for a team that wants to, you know, go through the middle as fast as they can? I mean, if we get held down a lot, then it's, you know, we do need the penalty blown, or we need that six again. So we probably do need the refs to step in. So I hope they don't put the whistle away, because it probably won't suit us.
Scott asks, in Vegas showed you have to excel in contact, ball movement and speed. Can the Tigers compete at Roosters, Panthers, Manly levels? Look, in terms of contact, I think they looked pretty good. I think our forwards are going to look much better. As much as the trials were a bit of a stinker, I think our forwards are going to look better. Look, Panthers, Roosters levels, no. But what do you think, Haz?
Yeah, I agree. We'll be better this year, but there was a standard there in those two games in Vegas, with the intensity and the commitment they played at, which I don't know if we're going to see from our boys this year. We are still a fair touch away from those better teams. Whether or not those teams can sustain that for the full season remains to be seen, because obviously they come back to Australia now. They have this weekend off, and then they're all back into it for round 2. But then, yeah, I don't think we'll compete at that level this year. We might be a year or two away from that. We saw at the end of the trial against the Dragons that Appy, the captain, was questioning the intensity. And yeah, that was what we saw in Vegas, was a far cry from what we dished out against the Dragons a couple of weeks ago.
Mm. Rob?
I don't think we can match the intensity of the Roosters Broncos defense. I certainly think, you know, if you go off the trials, no, we can't. The answer would be no, but we're going to be better than the trials. Like, as I said last week, about attitude. So, but in terms of matching, you know, Manly and South, I think we could match them in terms of that intensity. Because if you're talking about intensity, Manly was good in patches, and South was goddamn awful. Like Lachlan Croker, Ben Trbojevic, Luke Brooks, those tries were as soft as butter. So we are going to need to be better than that. But the thing is, South can score a lot of points, and they might win some high scoring games this year. Where with us, you know, we've got to be able to, if we're going to leak some points, fine, but we've got to be able to score them as well. So I'm not going to go off the trials, but yeah, I'm just hoping to see all guns blazing against Canberra. Like, I've got to hope to see that. We've all got to hope to see that, guys, as Tigers supporters. We don't want to see that trial rubbish that we saw.
Yeah, I think the boys will be revved up, ready to go. Righto, Kathy has thrown a big curveball in this one, but I thought I'd roll with it. So if you've been living under a rock, or have missed it yesterday, so Spencer Lainu called another player a monkey. Kathy's asking, do you think calling someone a monkey is a racial slur? And obviously, I mean, if you don't think it is, then I don't know how to help you, because 100% it is. We saw the same thing happen with Andrew Simons back in the day playing in India. They were calling that out to him as well. And yeah, what else can you say? If you don't actually think that that's a racial slur, I don't know really how to help you. Like, I know in the political world today, we're very divided on all sorts of topics, between wars going on and the LGBT stuff. Obviously, over the weekend, they kind of literally came together as well. And look, I think when it comes to these political things, I've said on the show before that I don't identify myself as left or right. I think if you're far one way or far the other, and not kind of taking things in a logical adult conversation with things, rather than just yelling at people. I think in this world, we're getting both sides just constantly yelling at each other with political issues and that sort of thing. So, but this one, yeah, it's flat out racism, and baffling that that this still happens. And sadly, it annoys me that you do see on social media, and I hope that social media is a small representation of what the public actually thinks with racism. Obviously, Latrell Mitchell's copped a lot of stuff with this stuff as well. Like, he's been called words. We obviously had a bit of a discussion amongst us off the air about this, and I think the AFL, maybe I'm biased, but I think the AFL fans are way worse than rugby league fans when it comes to this. But we have had, like I said, Latrell copped it, Brent Naden copped it. I think that might have been in Gosford when he was playing for Penrith. He got a racial slur thrown at him. But I don't know. I'm a millennial, white, straight male, so I don't know what it's like to get slurs thrown at me for who I am. So, I'm considering myself quite lucky at that, but it makes me really sad that people would say those things about someone, about their race, about their sexuality, about basically anything that people, about who they are.
it's who they are, how they were born, and yeah, you're having a dig at the way that person is, and it's not right. So yeah, Spencer Leanu, the fact that I think he's doubling down on it, and the fact that he basically after the game said, oh yeah, it was just blah blah blah, and the player he said it to is basically broken down over it. Like it's a very sad situation, and yeah, I hope his punishment fits the crime, and hopefully he gets educated on it. Does anyone want to add anything to what I just said?
You go, Aaron.
I'd just like to say, obviously Ezra's not going to be listening to this, but I do hope Ezra is okay. No one deserves to be insulted or vilified for who they are as a person, where they come from, their culture, anything like that. Obviously, Ezra was out there to play a football game. His race, nothing like that should have been brought into it, no matter the circumstances. I just hope he's okay, has the support around him of his teammates, of his family, of his friends, and I'm sure he'll pull through with that support.
Rob?
It's clear as day that there's no tolerance. There's zero tolerance for, you know, racial slurs in our game. So I'd go further than that. I don't think there should be any sledging in any way. So, and I know people will say, well, you know, it's a physical game, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, where do you draw the line? So, okay, that's a racial slur. What if someone, you know, said, oh, well, you know, you're a fat so-and-so or a tall so-and-so or a skinny so-and-so or whatever the case may be. I guess Lenu's probably hoping, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but he's going to cop it. And look, I'm a little bit more old school because this stuff's gone on in my era. And, you know, in my era, it was like, oh, you know, what did you report it for? You know, what stays on the field should stay there. And I do have that attitude personally. Like, everyone's different. I don't know what it's like to be Ezra Mann and never will. So I can't speak for Ezra Mann, but I mean, I would have handled it differently if I was him. I would have spoken to him after the game and said, mate, you shouldn't have done that. If you ever do that again, I'll report this incident, blah, blah, blah. I just think it's taken the limelight off a doubleheader in Las Vegas, and we're talking about racial slurs, which, don't get me wrong, it's a big issue, but like, we should be be living off the hype of the start of the NRL season, positivity, took the game to America, how good's this? And we're talking about stuff that's been going on and on for years. But I can't believe Spencer Leanu did it, knowing what he's going to cop it really hard. I just don't get why he would even bother doing that. But that said, you should not be sledging anyone on the field. I mean, NFL have a very soft penalty. If you taunt someone, they call it taunting. Taunt someone, it's a 15-yard penalty. Well, obviously for racial slurring, you know, you've got to get more. We set the standard in 2022 when Marcelo Montoya got made a homophobic slur, and he got 4 weeks. So I'd imagine Lenu's going to get a whole lot more than that. But it's just disappointing that it put a dampener on the opener, you know, to the season.
Yeah, 100%. I think we said enough about that one. We're all in agreement. It looks like everyone in the comments as well. Mitch asks, if you boys were the head of recruitment, what players would you look to sign for the club for 2025? I've merged this with Steve's questions because he also asked, which players should the Tigers sign to increase their chances of making the top eight? As you're a constant, you are the stats man, and you constantly looking at future off-contract players and that sort of thing, so I'll let you have first crack. And you picked on this very show, I think in your first appearance on this show, you picked that we'd sign Jimmy Tarmow on the show. That came out of nowhere. You were literally the first person in the universe to say Jimmy Tarmow should sign with the West Tigers. You called that one. So what are you thinking now?
Yeah, well, I took credit for that at the time, but in the end, I don't think it was all that.
I shouldn't have said it. Yeah, I shouldn't have brought it up.
In the end. I still think we probably need to target a center. Obviously, we've got a very good center in Justin Ollam, who is getting on a little bit in age, but I believe he has a lot of potential. If we can find a center from another club that could, I guess, complement him and add extra, I guess, energy to that other side of the field. That's probably what I'd want to go for. Looking at the list at the moment, though, for players off contract in that position at the end of this year, there aren't actually too many that I'd probably want to target. I mean, there's a few youngsters. You've got Isaiah Tass, Kale Iroh, who I believe is injured for the Sharks at the moment, but I hear has a lot of potential. Max Finney from the Dragons, Matthew Finney, his brother. So there are some options there, but I'm not 100% sure if any of those would be worth it. Other than that, I think we're good in the forwards for now. Maybe potentially a lock forward to, I guess, mentor the young guys we have coming through. But honestly, there's not too many in the lock list either, other than maybe Jazz Tavanga. But I don't know exactly how old he is. I'm just pulling up his profile now. He's 28 and off contract at the end of this year. So
old.
that's an option as well. That's probably the two positions I think we'd need to focus on.
Roberto, you got any ideas? Head of recruitment?
Well, first of all, I'm very happy to trust Richo and Benji on this, and I'm sure they'll get it right. But if I were head of recruitment, I mean, look, Richo's already, you know, sort of playing his cards anyways, basically said we're looking for a center. Personally, I would wait till about halfway through the year and see who out of the players we've got has made a fist of it. And the reason I say that, I think the three of us are all over Alex Lobb. We love him. But let's just say, you know, hypothetically, Alex Lobb doesn't stack up. Charlie Staines is going like a busted. Junior Tupu's leaving. Then obviously we need wingers. We've already got Olam in the centres. We have to see how he goes. But if I had to pick one person right now, stop Joey Manu from going to France and throw the book at him. The guy can play centre, wing, he's fullback. He's so good. He's so elusive. You saw the Cirque du Soleil pass that he did on the, you know, yesterday to former Tiger Junior Pauger for a try. So that would be my target. I know he's getting on a little bit, but why should we be having an elite player leave our game to go play in France? Just like we lost, you know, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck to rugby, and in the trials already, Tuivasa-Sheck is looking like an absolute demon. So if I had to target someone, it'd be Manu. Again, with the forwards, I always thought we were really stacked in the forwards. I want to see how the backup forwards go, given the fact that we've lost, you know, Bloor and Ofengawi. You know, we're looking a little bit thin there. So I want to see who comes through. But I think we're pretty set for hooker. Whether we like it or not, we've put all our eggs in the halfback situation. So it's really our three-quarter line, because Jareem Buller's got a lock on fullback. So I just think from numbers 2 to 5, 2, 3, 4, and 5 is where we're looking, even though we've invested heavily already in Olam. So I'd go Manu, and I don't think I'd be looking at any other position right now till we see how we're looking halfway through the year.
Yeah, Joey, I don't think we could afford Joey Manu. Like, he'd be
Yes, we could. Yeah, 100% we could. 100% we could. We're going to be moving pieces as well. We've already got pretty decent money left over. And I have a feeling, you know, one of our halves won't be there next year, if not two. You know, we might be losing Bud Sullivan potentially. We might lose Adam Dwayne potentially. That frees up well over $1 million. So if Benji wants someone, Richo's going to get him as well. So if it were me, it'd be Joey Manu, especially given the fact he's going overseas. Like, if the Roosters want to keep a player, the Roosters keep a player. So the fact that they don't want him, I don't know why every other club in Sydney is not after him.
And the Kiwi connection with Benji.
Just everything. The guy's got it all. He creates. He can score points. He can do it all. He's got one of the best steps in the game. So, yeah, he'd be the number one target for me, given that we've got Jerome Luai already, you know, coming into the halves, and Appy's there, and Talon's going to be coming in for Appy down the track. So I think, you know, our three-quarter line is our biggest weakness right now.
Just on Joey Manu, though, I think the Roosters actually do want to keep him, but I'm pretty sure his heart is, like, 100% set on going over and playing French rugby, which is a massive loss for the game, but it seems like that's just what he wants to do.
I don't think anyone wants to play French rugby, mate. I don't think anyone wants to play French rugby. They go for the dollar. If we can give Luai 1.1 a year, why can't we give, you know, Manu a million a year. There's no way he's on $1 million at the Roosters. Not a hope in hell. He'd be on 650 thereabouts.
Can he play for the All Blacks if he plays French rugby? Can you play French rugby and still get picked internationally?
Yeah, I'm sure you could play club rugby somewhere else in the world. Yeah,
He's a Kiwi, so being an All Black would be a dream of his. Is that possible?
Think so, but I couldn't say for sure. But you'd think he'd be eligible.
Pinto, he said, I'm rewatching the Dragons game. Good on you, Pinto. We definitely didn't do that. We played eerily similar to the Penrith Panthers. Is it, in our case, an all structure but no strike situation in terms of our playing structure, defense, and attack? So, Rob, you're the one that kind of preaching of how lame our attack was against the Dragons. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, look, Pinto's on the money. I got told last year from people within the club that's exactly what we try to do. We're trying to play that forcings back grinding game that Penrith do and trying to break teams down. And I can understand why you'd want to model yourself on Penrith. They've won 3 comps in a row. I just don't think we do it obviously like they do, and we don't have the back. So we've lacked a game manager like Nathan Cleary that they've had for 4 or 5 years. So if our halves do the job, I personally don't, like, don't get me wrong, Penrith are the best, no doubt about it. They're boring for me to watch. I mean, they win, so I don't think their fans are complaining, but, give me watching Melbourne when they're white hot, or the Broncos when Reece Walsh has got the ball, or Kalen Ponga for the Knights. Like, I just like watching that style more, but, yeah, we do model ourselves on Penrith. Will it work for us this year? I hope so. I just hope the game doesn't evolve too much, because I just think we're going to see a lot more points scored this year than in previous years. Just seeing everything's favouring the attacking team. So we've got to be good defensively, and with the ball in hand.
Yeah, Panthers fans must be bored. All this boring winning. As, what are your thoughts?
Panthers fans, share it around, please. We'd like to see even some of those.
Two wins. We'll take two wins. Give us two wins.
Yeah, why not? You'll still finish in the top 8.
Well, we're only playing once, so.
That might help us get out of the bottom 4. Why not? I just really hope that the club's holding their cards close to their chest and they come out and blow us all away in the first game against the Raiders. That would be pretty sensational, I reckon. We need to do more with the ball in good ball area inside the opposition's 20-meter zone, because that was our, like I've said before, that was our main issue all of last year. We struggled. We had no issue getting the ball into the opposition 20, but we fell to water every time, or almost every time we got there, and we just couldn't find a way to score points. And sometimes it took a player going to the bin from the opposition team, a la Canberra, Campbelltown last year, before we actually showed what we could do with the ball and how dangerous we could look. So I'm hoping that they've just been hiding some things that they've been working on during the preseason, and we'll get to see that come to the fore when we play Canberra Saturday week.
Yeah, 100%. I think that'll be the case. The trial is very different. Our attack looked really good against the Raiders in the trial last year, and then who knows what happened. And so, just throw the trial games in the bin. Stop thinking about them. It's a trial. Make judgments after
round one.
Yeah, round two. Kai asked, after all the Galvin hype this offseason, everyone seems to be forgetting about Latu Fainu. How do you boys think he will go this year? Yeah, I don't think he'll play. I don't think he'll play that much first grade, barring an injury. What do you reckon, Az?
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to see too much of Latu this year either. I think we'll see more of him in reserve grade. And whenever the Tigers are playing a double header or a triple header or something, I'm always going to try and get to the ground if it's home game before the reserve grade game, so I can actually have a look and see how some of these other players are shaping up. I think with Latu, this is more of a development year for him. Obviously, there's there's some pretty good stock at the club in the coaching staff when it comes to halves and other key positions on the field. And I think he's going to spend this year plying his trade, learning from those guys. And then maybe next year, maybe the year after, is when we'll start to see more from Latu. And I think Galvin as well. And just, yeah, let him grow, let him develop, let him learn his craft and just ply his trade in reserve grade. I think that's probably what the case will be for Latu in particular.
Rob?
Yeah, definitely a development year, guys. The only way I would see him in first grade is if we've copped a lot of injuries in the halves, or alternatively, if, heaven forbid, if the season's gone with a few weeks left in the year, they might give him a run just because it makes no difference to making the finals. But I think it's definitely a development year. You know, he'll get bigger, he'll get stronger, he'll work with the team. And yeah, like he'd have to be playing super well to get a crack, because right now he's pretty much our number four half in the club. So I don't expect to see him really playing at all this year.
Came to see him a couple, 100%. Dom asks, is it true that the Tigers knocked back the opportunity to go to Vegas? Look, someone else said it in the comments earlier. I'd find it hard to believe because obviously Justin Pascoe would have been in charge when this was being organized. A, he loves America. B, he loves money. Like, and C, he loves attention. Like, as if Pascoe, I find it hard to believe that Pascoe would have said no to this, Rob.
Yeah, me too. But I mean, there's a part of me that thinks maybe he's been burnt by the whole Tales of Tiger Town saga and thought, you know, maybe we should keep it low key and maybe it's too much pressure on the player. So potentially he did knock it back. I don't know. But if you listen to his interview with James Graham, he kept using the words, the word transformational and how much of, you know, that he is. So. You'd think he might have gone on it, but yeah, it'd be lovely if we did get to go to Vegas, if it, you know, make the top four this year and get there next year if they make that sort of rule.
But do you think they'll name as? Do you think they'll announce the four teams for next year? Like, they won't wait to the off season. Surely they'll give the clubs a heads up. They'll probably announce it this year.
Yeah, I have a feeling teams are going to be able to submit applications sort of similar to like applying to enter teams into the NRLW as they've started to grow that comp. I think this will be similar to that. Teams can put in an application. They'll choose the four teams that will go over during the season, which I'm pretty sure is what they did this year or last year. I'm pretty sure we knew the teams that were going to Vegas before the finals, after they had confirmed that it was happening. I can't remember exactly when it was announced, but I'm pretty sure it was announced at some point during the season, because there was a whole like couple of weeks of media build up for the whole thing and excitement and interviews with the players about potentially going to Vegas next year if they were still at the club. So I think a similar thing will happen and they'll choose the four teams that they want to send over. I have a feeling that all four of the teams that went this year will probably apply to head over there again, and who knows what they'll end up deciding to do.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Big one here from Brendan. So just as some points as follows, in brackets, my opinion, the questions I want to ask you. Just want to know your thoughts. Boys, love the show. Thank you, Brendan. Your thoughts on the wraparound plays inside the 20 metres? So we might rapid fire these ones. You're getting four for your money here, Brandon. Your thoughts on the wraparound plays inside the 20 metres. Is it effective or not? Personally annoys me every time we do one. All right, Rob?
It's the most underutilised weapon in the red zone, but the way we do it absolutely sucks balls. Okay, I just think the receiver of the runaround is just too stagnant, never looks like he's going to take off himself. The last bloke that actually took off with the ball on a wraparound and it looked like a normal wraparound was Joe Offa Ngawi at Leichhardt Oval. He nearly scored a try from it. Like, it's got to be done with speed. If you're doing everything in slow motion, it's not going to work. But the way we do it, you know, the guy catches a ball and he does this like 90-degree U-turn, like the QE2, and he gives it to the guy running around him, and it just looks so tedious. And it's like, no. So yeah, look, Brendan, it's not working the way we do it, but trust me, it's an underutilized play because there's so many options with the guy that receives the ball. He can go back to the original side. He can go out the back. He can take the ball himself. He can even cut out the wraparound guy. You just have to watch a touch footy game or an Oztag game to see what we can do with it. I know it's a different game, rugby league,
but yeah.
Pretty much you're still going to find a gap. Yeah, the strategy is the same. You're trying to make some space.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like you said, you could have the person wrap around and then the person, instead of passing it to the wrapper, they pass it back the other direction.
There's just so many options.
It is very slow when we do it. The timing of it, like they basically do it like under sevens would practice, where they just kind of catch it and pass it back around. You got to hit the line and draw players into that person to make them think.
It's got to be a speed. You don't even have to pivot as the receiver of the ball. You can be moving back towards the person that passed you the ball, and then the defender's got to think, well, shit, is he going to hold it? Is he going to keep it? Do I move across with him? Like, there's just so many. If it's done with speed, you will create gaps, but not the way we do it.
As the next point, should we play more direct and more inside balls and turning players at angles to create chances at the line? It seemed to be the goat Vegas game. So an inside, some X's.
Yeah, I really liked seeing those, the outside then inside passes in the Vegas games, because they worked quite well. A lot of the time a team is expecting you to keep spreading the ball further out wide, sometimes juking them, as the Americans would say, and sending it back inwards works an absolute treat. And we saw that a couple of times in Vegas. I think it'll be something that teams have been practicing over the offseason, trying to get those plays right, make them work, because there were some teams that I think could do it last year, not all of them. I think we'll see a lot more of that this year. Hopefully we try it too. You can't overutilize it though, because as soon as you start trying to overutilize it, then it becomes predictable, and it'll never work. You've got to pick your moments, use them well, and get it right.
Yeah, Benji was great at the show to an X, and then basically half throwing the ball and then darting out, continuing out wide. You can do all sorts of things against the Warriors. That's how they scored their try against us, by coming back inside and found a lazy defender. So,
in Benji's case, he could sometimes flick it out to a player who was behind him without even looking behind him.
Yeah, he's the king. Do the coaches need to give players more depth and space to create opportunities in attack? Are we playing too condensed, Rob?
Oh, look, the season hasn't started, Brendan. I just think they were just glorified training runs, you know, just trying to get some fitness in the legs. So, look, in terms of attack, I'd like to see us be a bit deeper and promote the ball a little bit more. The one thing I will say, as I said last week, defence is attitude. You can change that in a week. I don't think you can change an attack so quickly. Like, we've had the whole off-season. I'm sure they've practiced block shapes and all that sort of stuff, and they're keeping it in their arsenal. But I just hope we're going to get to a point where we go, oh, shit, we need to find some points. We better try something new. I hope we've got our attack sorted, and it's just a matter of how much of it we're using. But to answer that question, yeah, I think I'd like to see us play a little bit deeper, and obviously it gives you a bit more room, but I definitely want to see our halves straightening up the attack. Like, sideways movement, the way Caesar was against St. George, is not the go, because he's just taking the space away from his teammates.
And last part, if defense is an attitude trait, should we focus on making defense as big as scoring tries? I don't see the boys get around for big hits or have high intensity in defensive efforts. Again, as Rob said, it's a trial. We can't. I thought there was a little bit of it in the Warriors game. I thought the first 20 minutes, the intensity on defense was pretty good. What do you reckon, Az?
The problem with the trials is we didn't play our expected team for a large portion of the game, like you'd see, particularly in the second trial. A lot of the time, coaches would play their main team for close to 70 minutes in the second trial, and maybe half a game in the first. And then we've thrown that. We've got the bye this weekend for round one. There's obviously a lot there that wasn't what we will see during the season. But just on the, what was that other part? I don't see the boys get around for big hits or have high intensity. I think we saw plenty of big hits in that Dragons trial. If I remember rightly, Justin Olin put on a massive hit that ended up injuring him. A few other players as well, I think, put on big hits. So there does seem to be some effort there and some commitment to the cause. We'll obviously have to wait and see how the rest of it goes. But I think defense, that is something that we do need to work on. Communication in defense, I think, is the biggest thing that we struggled with. And we saw that in the Warriors trial, where how they got their first try while we did have most of our main forwards on there. And there was that gap between Kepa and Steph that opened up for him.
Yeah. Steph has been a bit lazy there. I hope that he's not like that in the real game. Might have just been because it was preseason. I forgot again is the name of the person that asked this question. I think they put their email as I forgot as well. So anonymous person asked, I don't know why they're anonymous. It's a fun question. Very trigger happy on the buttons. There it is. If you would name, basically said, if you were going to pick a basketball team, who would you pick out of the Tigers? So obviously the starting five, we had a bit of fun with this on our chat last night. Look, Alex Lobb has to be there. Jareen Buller has to be there. Who else is really tall in the team? You might be able to play
Steph.
Maybe Steph could be like a Shaq playing at the five. I reckon Appy to run the point.
You reckon? If his ACL can hold up?
You got to have Dewey and Twally, guys, because Lebanese people are good shooters, you know. So
yeah, renowned basketball, heavyweights, Lebanon.
Yeah. Glad that went over Josh's head, Aaron.
Oh, good shooters, right? Yeah.
All good.
Okay.
Hey, I'm a Leb. Yeah. I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah.
No phone calls, please.
Yeah. So, what have we got? You probably put Alex Lobb, probably put him, small forward, maybe power forward, and then
maybe Jareen Buller. Toops.
Yeah, he's got a bit of leaps in him.
He's leaving, though. Do we want to keep him in there? He's leaving.
Well, if he can shoot. True. I do remember seeing footage of, because they got a basketball set up at the Zurich Center now, and I can't remember whose Instagram story, but is Isaiah Papali'i trying to do a fadeaway jump shot and completely airballs it, and everyone laughing? It was pretty funny.
Isn't it true? Jareen Buller actually wanted to play basketball and came back to
England. Yeah.
He actually left league to play basketball, so definitely got to have Jareen as captain.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really have captains, I guess, in basketball, but I think any. Any disagreements on this one?
Not really. I don't think it'll affect our season, guys.
I'm the only real big basketball fan.
Who'd you put in the all-time team then, Josh?
All-time? Ellery Benji? Hanley. Benji. Yeah, Benji. I mean, what can't Benji do?
You've got to have Paddy Richards there. Paddy Richards. Best hands in the game.
Jamal Idris is a good shout from Randomizer on the comments there.
Who was the Balmain winger from the 80s that I'm thinking of? Or was that Hanley?
Grant?
Hanley was a lock / center. / 5'8". He could play everywhere.
Yeah.
We had a really fast winger in the 80s.
Larry Carawa.
Larry Carawa.
That's the one. That's the one.
The Black Flash.
We're getting to racial profiling again, I think. Here with the basketball question. it's true. I mean, the best player in the world is Serbian, to be fair. So,
Novak Djokovic. Yeah, of course.
Novak. Did you see he was on the sidelines watching Jokic?
I did.
When he's.
Yeah. I did see that too. Yeah.
I saw the photos today, actually.
Saw LeBron get his 40,000th point and his sixth loss in a row to the Denver Nuggets. Good on you, LeBron.
Lakers fan, is he?
No, he's watching. He's friends. There was another Vlad. I can't remember his last name. Someone in the comments might.
Vladdy D-Batch.
That's the one. He was there as well. Righto. Just quick I threw Rob Shadamas in here just to say thank you to Rob. So your Cornella from race 7 on the weekend got up 1-9, paid $2.70. So shout out to anyone who got on that. We are 0 out of 2 in our tips for next weekend. So
off to a great start.
Good on us. If you'd like to sponsor the show, podcast@westlife.com. If you want to reach thousands of passionate West Tigers fans. SG Ball, Harold Matts on the weekend. So in SG Ball, Magpies won 20-18. Balmain got done by the Warriors in Auckland 20-6. In Harold Matts, the Maggies got up 36-12 over the Raiders, and the Tigers got done 16-4 to the Warriors. In table wise, so in Harold Matts, the Maggies are clear out in front with Balmain clear down the bottom. And in SG Ball, we have the Maggies at 5 and Balmain third last. So the Magpies really carrying the junior side of things. They play each other at Lidcombe this weekend.
That kind of scary for Harold Matts in particular, where it's first versus last.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a underage bloodbath. Tasha Gale, the girls got up both grades, so 18-12 over the Raiders in Tasha Gale, and Lisa Fiaola 26-16 over the Central Coast Roosters. Both those games were at Camden. In Tasha Gale, we are in 10th, and in Lisa, the younger girls, they're flying the flag nicely. They're in tied second, sitting in third. So
important wins for both girls' teams, I believe, because they both have, I'm pretty sure they both have the bye this coming round as well.
Laurie Daly Cup, MacArthur West Tigers won at 24-10 over the South Coast, I think it's South Coast Dragons.
Illawarra South Coast Dragons, yeah.
Yeah, and 42-6 big winners in Andrew Johns Cup as well. That was down in Wollongong. Shouts to our Patreon tier, Benji Marshall tier members. And thank you to all our Patreon members, patreon.com/Westlife. And they're on screen. And we'll do Brandon. Good on you, mate. He sent us $8. Talked about today, trying to convince the boys that if we get enough super chats and memberships, maybe, and the Tigers do get announced to Vegas, maybe we can, you guys. Oh, Shane's just thrown us a $20 lobster. Wow. We'll go to Brandon's first. Thanks for answering all the questions tonight, boys. Appreciate the feedback. Good on you, Brandon. Constant watcher of the show, and really appreciate your support, especially in preseason time. We're talking about the West Tigers not being match fit. I think we're still ramping up, boys. I think we'll get better as the year goes on. But appreciate that, Brandon. And Shane Cowett, Benji Marshall, Patreon member, and he's thrown us $20. Great show as always, boys. Hey, Az, when's your big screen debut? I've been watching the past 2 weeks. Now I'm hooked on the bloody show. technically the small screen chain, but I'm not going to diss someone who just threw me $20. So the 1% club, if anyone missed Az, went on the 1% club. Has your episode aired yet?
No, it hasn't aired yet. What I think has happened is there were 2 episodes that were filmed the day I went and was a part of filming. So they might have gotten me mixed up potentially with the other episode, and the first season, or the first episode of the season that aired, was the one that was filmed in the morning of that day, and the one that I was in obviously filmed later that evening hasn't aired yet. So I'm kind of playing the waiting game at the moment. I'm watching the previews at the end of each episode to see if I'd notice any questions or anything from my episode. And as soon as I know, I will post on both my Twitter and in the Discord that my episode is the next one up. And yep, you guys will all be first to know.
Yeah. Jim Jefferies is going to announce soon. He's got a tour in, so I think he's going to film the next season of the show in July or June or July, and he's doing a big Aussie tour with it as well. So I've been to his last three tours. Yeah. So keen for that. They might be filming their podcast as well. I don't know about that podcast, which I watch every single week as well. Yeah. Anything else to add, boys? Thank you, Shane. A whole lobster. My God. And thank you, Brendan, for your $28 on a preseason Monday night. How good, boys?
No, there's some really good questions tonight, guys. Some good discussions. And I got to say one thing, my little pet hate, I don't know if you guys feel the same way. You know, everyone says, should we concentrate on defense or should we concentrate on attack? Like, the game only goes for 80 minutes. Why can't we do both? Like, why do we have to concentrate on defense and not, like, that's the game. You got to be good at both. So, and I have to say something else, guys. When we were talking about playing Canberra next week, I got a little bit of a heart flutter, not a cardiac arrest, but I actually got some first real bit of excitement for the season because I just haven't been feeling it the last couple of weeks, especially after the trials, but just starting to really feel like, okay, we're getting closer. Not too long now.
Yeah, there's hope. Yeah, we're third on the table. Maybe that's why.
Let's hope. We'll be ninth after this week, though. You know that.
Don't remind us.
Our favourite position.
Righto, Wednesday will be our next show. We'll do a bit of a preview. We'll talk about the footy, the non-Tigers footy, the other six games. Yeah, 8 minus 2 equals 6. So it'll be 6 games next weekend. We'll talk about those, do our tips, any other questions from the Patreons as well. Plenty to talk about. I'm sure something will happen. The West Tigers are probably getting back. I think they're all being given a bit of leave. I think I only know this because my wife told me on Zoe Marshall's Instagram. They're on holidays somewhere at the moment. So I think they're having a bit of time off, relaxing before they head into the season, I'm sure. As the first game against Canberra ramps up, there'll be more to talk about, more news from the boys. So thank you to everyone joining us on another Monday night in the preseason. Literally a heap of you watching live on the YouTube. Thank you to the thousands of you that listen to every single episode. Again, it's just the three of us talking about the team we love. And yeah, we are so grateful that, literally thousands of you out there will take the time to listen to our voices for close to 3 hours a week. Oh, Carla just said they're at Hamilton Island. There you go. Benji, if anyone's on Hamilton Island, keep an eye out for the Marshalls. Thank you for that. Carla, righto, boys. As always, go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the West Life Podcast. Please follow us at West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter and facebook.com/WestLifePod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/WestLife and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the West Life Podcast.